following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Today's interest rates are the lowest that we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.5%. APR 3.81%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. Here are some of the reasons why. We close many of our loans in 30 days or less, and we provide you with industry-leading online apps designed to guide you through the loan process with speed and ease. Again, today's amazingly low rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.5%, APR 3.81%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com. And find out for yourself why we're engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Dear Lord, the battle go through life.
Dear Lord, the battle go through life.
We ask for chances fair.
We ask for chances fair.
Chance to equal our strife.
Chance to do or
death.
He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger.
We should win.
We should win.
Let it be by the cold.
Let it be by the cold.
Faith and honor held high.
Faith and honor held high.
We should lose.
We should lose.
Stand by the road.
Stand by the road.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Cheers,
oh, man, woman, and child, I never thought I would live this long to see this kind of a football game.
Day by day,
day, by day.
We get better and better.
Do
we get BB?
Do we get BB?
Boom, BB.
Boom, BB.
Get there. Get there. Get there.
The snap is down. The kick is up. The kick is.
Get there.
That's way. The kick is.
Go out there and smash people. Put them on their ass, you know. Smash mouth football. That's the way we play. That's the way we've been taught.
The clock shows a minute and 55 seconds. Two shots to go 2 yards. Kept Kinney in the top of the eye. Taggy, the quarterback, calls his count at the line of scrimmage. Taking a long count. Here he gives to Kinney. Kinney over the left side. Touchdown! 74 yards on that drive, and Nebraska forges into the lead.
Hands it off to Burkhead right up the middle, drives, he's in, and Nebraska, Rex Burkhead, rams in there for 6 points.
And the bottom line for Nebraska is this: it always has been and it always will be about winning championships. Anything less is frankly unacceptable.
And the snap to Tommy, and they give him the trap play, and it's Schlesinger inside the five, in there for the touchdown, he's got the touchdown, it's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger. It is history, 13-0, and bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
Quarterback keeper for Martinez up the middle. He's got a first down. There he goes. 40, 50, 40, 30. Nobody's going to catch Taylor Martinez. An 80-yard scamper. His third rushing touchdown of the day.
If we go out there and play 60 minutes of the hardest football we know how, they're going to lay down.
Bell lost the ball. And the Cornhuskers scoop it up, and it's Rude. Touchdown. Here's a reverse. Now back to the quarterback. Enderle gets hit, brought down. Jared Crick sniffed that play out and sacks Enderle all the way back at the 11-yard line.
In offense, baby, you just do what you do best. There's nobody, and I mean nobody, runs the ball like you guys do.
There's the handoff to Roy Hill, who's got the midfield. Roy bursting through. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10.
Rozier turns, he's running back around the field, he's trying to get away, he's looking for blockers, he turns upfield, he's going to run a touchdown!
We're Nebraska, baby.
26 seconds left, quarterback Taylor back to pass, he looks into the end zone, they pat him, Purifine near side, leaps, he catches it, touchdown Nebraska!
Here's Wiley's kick, gets high, it holds up there, Rogers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's in the 45, he's in the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home! Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that, put him in the aisle! Johnny the Jet Rogers just tore him loose from their shoe!
Grant Mahoney to try to tie it up, snap, and they're going to fake it, they throw it out the flat, it's intercepted by Nebraska, and the Huskers have won! Eric Haig knocked it away!
37, 38, 39, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He's going to go. Holy cow. Touchdown, Tommy Frazier.
Is here. The 2012 Nebraska football season officially begins today with Fan Day in Lincoln at Memorial Stadium. If you're heading down, enjoy it from 2 to 3:30. Bit of advice, you want Bo Pelini's picture and autograph, you better plan on that's about all you're getting in the coach's line. If you want to get a lot of autographs, go see the kids that don't play yet. You're going to be able to get through that line a lot quicker. But have fun if you're heading down to Memorial Stadium today from 2 to 3:30. First Husker practice is tomorrow. First Big Red Report with Sean Callahan is in the 7 a.m. hour on Monday morning. And we will have one right after the Doug and Daddy show and one in the morning each weekday throughout the Husker football season until the day after the bowl game. And I think we can now once again be safe to say that we don't have to worry about Nebraska whether they go to a bowl game or not, which happened a couple of years. But now, Bo Pelini getting ready for his fifth season. We are loaded today, folks. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, Scout.com. There's been some activity going on as far as kids signing, kids visiting. We're going to talk about recruiting for the Huskers. Tom Dienhart, senior writer, Big Ten Network. He was in Chicago last week. We'll get his impressions of who he thought looked good, who maybe surprised him in the opposite way, how he thought Penn State handled things, what he thought about Urban Meyer, and about the Huskers. In fact, Tom writes an article on the BTN Network about 10 reasons to be excited for Nebraska this year. We talked about that a little bit yesterday on the program, and we'll go over some of those with him, get his overall impressions. And our Big Ten preview today as far as our players for Media Day, Penn State offensive guard John Urschel. This is one smart cookie. I think nothing but A's so far in his college career. Six semesters, 4.0, and he will join us. Probably too smart to be on this show, but he's going to join us as well. Possibility that we might have a special guest from the Cox Classic, but we are not sure on that. And right now, new leaders at the Cox Classic. Peter Lonnard, who has played a lot on the PGA Tour, is 6-under through 15 today on top of his 5-under 66 yesterday. One of three players that are at 11-under par. Bubba Dickerson started slow, but he is 2-under through 12. And Tag Ridings, 5-under through 11. He is at 11-under par. First round leaders, Luke Guthrie tees off at 2:05. How about this? The kid shoots 62. Kid, because he's going to be a senior at Illinois. He's played a little bit on the PGA Tour this year. He's been in contention on the PGA Tour, and he is in Omaha as we speak, getting ready for his second round. He had a double bogey and a bogey and still shot 9-under yesterday because he tied a web.com nationwide tour record with 12 birdies in a single round. Unbelievable. Scott Gucheski tees off in about an hour and a half. He had a slow start yesterday, parred the first 12 holes, then birdied four of the final six. 4-under, John Hurley, 2-under after the opening day, and he's getting ready to go as well. Steve Friesen shot 1-under yesterday. Former Kearney Country Club pro John Peterson struggled. He had a triple bogey early, shot 78, and will not make the cut this year. Also, action going on, final round, the 37th annual Junior PGA Championship going on in Indiana at Fort Wayne. Danielle Lemick, second straight 75, her three-round total of 11 over, did not make the top 30. She missed the cut by two shots as the top 30 go today. And on the boys' side, Riley Reinertsen shoots another 3-under 69, so he goes 69, 70, 69. He's 8-under when he started the day today. He's in fourth, three shots out of the lead of Robbie Shelton out of Alabama, who fired an 8-under 64 yesterday. So you look at some of these scores out there, and the guys at the top have been able to keep it around par or under, but there's a host of these guys that have had at least one round over par. Riley Reinertsen, not one of those, as his great summer continues. So we'll keep you up to date and let you know how he fared this afternoon on our sports update. But a lot to talk about when we're talking college football. If you would like to join us on the program today, 888-455-8255. ESPN 888-455-3776. Or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We still got a pair of tickets for tomorrow at the Cox Classic, don't we, Jeffrey? Let's do that. Folks, we're talking about if you're going down to the Cox Classic tomorrow, want a pair of tickets that will get you into the viewing box where you get a little free beverage and free food, you will have to pick them up at our studio in Kearney today if you're going to utilize them. But I want to give them to somebody that can use them. Call now, 888-455-3776. We're just going to give it to you. Pair of tickets to get you into the Cox Classic Saturday, 888-455-3776. ESPN. I guess, in fact, if you're going right now and you want to swing by the studio and pick up the last pair for Friday, we can do that too. But call Jeffrey now at 888-455-ESPN. Well, it was quite obvious what the story was in the United States-Nigeria men's basketball game yesterday. Former Husker Adi Dogundaro couldn't play and had a knee injury, and obviously he was worth 83 points. And the United States wins at 156-73, 29 three-pointers, 29 of 46. Carmelo Anthony had 10 of them, a single-game scoring record with 37, the 156, the most any team has ever scored in a single game in Olympic men's basketball. Pretty good day for the Americans. Michael Phelps gets another gold. Gabby Douglas comes through with the all-around in women's gymnastics. Today, and I see there are some Facebook fans out there, handball is big. Handball is pretty big. Archery's been pretty big, according to NBC's network of people that are covering the sports besides swimming and gymnastics and what will be track coming up. Today, though, trampoline. That's right, folks. Trampoline going on today. Tonight they'll show the finals of the trampoline. That's a sport? We don't have softball, baseball, and numerous other things, but we've got trampoline. Isn't that just the extended version of the floor exercise in gymnastics? It's still fun to watch. 888-455-ESPN. Don't forget, while you're out and about this weekend, maybe you're golfing in one of the many tournaments. Kearney Booster Club is today. You've got the Coors at the Kearney Country Club this weekend. There's some individual member guests going on down at Minden, I know. Wherever you're at, enjoy your weekend. Maybe you're hitting the lake. Maybe you just got another couple of weekends of family time. Whatever it is, take care of it with Troutman's Quality Meats. And the gardens are producing tomatoes. What goes with tomatoes? Bacon! Bacon goes with tomatoes. BLTs or just bacon tomatoes, they'll take care of you there. And they also have, at Troutman's Quality Meat, bacon-wrapped chuck shoulder tender medallions. Oh, Carrie, would you just throw some of those on the grill and have them over here by noon? Oh, my God. 8 ounces, $4. Oh, are you kidding me? Bacon-wrapped pork loin filet, $5 a pound. Bacon-wrapped chicken breast grillers, seasoned and ready to go. That's right. You just throw them on and get them done. Quick, easy, tasty, $5.69 a pound. Stop in and meet their newest employee, Jamie. Very friendly and comes from a long line of butchers in the metro area. We welcome him from Omaha, and it just makes him even better at Troutman's Quality Meats, where you have beer brats and bell pepper onion brats fresh out of the smokehouse today. Troutman's always there for you. USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef and quality, quality steaks. They would serve you nothing else. They would sell you nothing else. Quality steaks aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. It's all at Troutman's Quality Meats. Open Monday through Saturday, Highway 30, right across from Bob's Superstore in Kearney. Folks, you won't regret it. I know Kearney High has their reunion in town this weekend. If you've never heard of Troutman's, you want good quality, homegrown Nebraska beef, nothing better. Take it upon yourself to visit Troutman's Quality Meats today. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, when we come back.
Hey, Golic here, ready to tackle your home painting projects this weekend? Come into Lowe's and take advantage of a great offer on exterior paint and stain products, like $5 off 1 gallon cans and $20 off 5 gallon cans of Valspar Duramax exterior paint via mail-in or online rebates. And save on HomeRite 2-speed stain stick, now just $19.99. Or pick up a Graco Spray Station 2900 HVLP sprayer, now just $99. That's a saving of $20. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through August 6th. See store for details.
Doug Gottlieb, but I'm here with Wendell Middlebrooks discussing the three essentials to enjoying an MLB game.
You've got to have hot dogs and home runs, and you've got to have the High Life.
Now, we also want to remind you that every Miller High Life bottle cap returned to us, we will be donating 10 cents towards giving returning veterans a piece of the High Life.
Just return every specially marked Miller High Life bottle cap and can tab, and we'll reward our nation's veterans with their own High Life experience.
Great beer, great responsibility. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more details, visit MillerHighLife.com.
When it comes to wings, HK Sports Bar and Grill is Wing City. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I want to personally invite you to come in and try our great New York-style wings. Plump wings, deep-fried any way you want. Brew-battered, spicy, or traditional, or naked and dipped in one of our savory sauces. In fact, on Thursdays, you get a pound of wings and a pint of beer for just $9. HK Sports Bar and Grill, where you'll see every game of every sport every day.
Come on in, let the games begin.
The Kearney Country Club invites you to register today for their annual Coors four-person golf scramble August 4th and 5th. Your entry fee includes two rounds of golf, cart, steak dinner, Calcutta, and four complimentary drink tickets. Friday includes a practice round and 6 p.m. shootout. Get your entries in today for the preferred tee time of 8 a.m. or 1:30 p.m. Saturday, with everyone going Sunday at 10. You can download an entry form at ESPNSuperstation.com or call the pro shop to enter your team in the annual Coors four-person golf scramble at the Kearney Country Club.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 99. South winds will stay gusting around 10 to 15 at times. Tonight, a chance for storm activity moves in with a low in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, it's 84.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only half past 12, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. This lunch break is gonna take all afternoon.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. For some, when the sports season begins, high school, college, the weekend, this could be it for a few folks because practices get underway this weekend. For everybody. And we are hoping that this is a great weekend for you. Our TNL Husker Recruiting Report this Friday, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system, well, with TNL, the choice is simple. Find out how easy the choice is yourself by contacting your nearest TNL dealer. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. Brian Munson back with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Happy Friday, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, we're rolling along, and we're getting ready for the actual season, 16th in the country. What did you think about that?
It's about right. You know, I think that the, you know, you go back to where the Big Ten projections are at, I think it was pretty fair, you know, Nebraska being in that number three spot, maybe going to the game at East Lansing is going to be a big one for Nebraska, obviously. Big road test. I think Northwestern is a big road test. You know, and I looked at the schedule, and I'm just so torn. You know, you got to go to Ohio State, you get to host Michigan, you got to go to Northwestern, you got to go to Michigan State, you got to go to Iowa. It's a very tough schedule for Nebraska. A lot of tough tests.
We've been talking about this. We kind of make our predictions before we go to Big Ten Media Days or the old Big 12 Media Days, and you always seem to have your mind changed about a couple of things. My contention, Bri, is this is a. And you always have to throw in if they just play football that they're capable of and the injuries stay away. I think it's a 10-2 football team. I don't see a problem in the non-conference. A lot of people are worried about UCLA, and that's fine. But I see them going 2-2 in those four major games, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. What you think that might be close?
I think that's real accurate. I've gone back and forth between 10-2 and 9-3. I just don't see Nebraska. You know, I see Nebraska's toughest test, obviously, being in Columbus. What I don't like about the way the rest of the schedule sets up for Nebraska is you get Michigan, tough game. I think that that's going to be a possible for Nebraska to pull that off just because it's in Lincoln. I like Nebraska right away against Wisconsin at home. But then you look at the teams like Michigan State and Iowa. And what scares me about those two games are just the fact that both those teams play so incredibly well at home, and especially Michigan State. I think that Iowa's going to have some tricks up their sleeves. You know, they have a returning quarterback, Michigan State. Although they have a new quarterback this season, is a very talented team. I think that I teeter back and forth between 9-3 and 10-2, but I think it's about right.
Brian Munson with us here. Before we went to Big Ten Media Days, kind of an informal poll of each school, had a couple of guys that they called it a media poll. The Big Ten doesn't sanction that. But it was my kind of gut feeling the whole time that Wisconsin was everybody's pick. Now Michigan is ranked higher.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of interesting. I think Michigan, to me, you know, another year with Robinson at the helm, I thought offensively they really started hitting their stride last year. I thought by the time Nebraska had a chance to face them, I thought it was going to be a difficult test to begin with. But at the same time, I really felt like they were really coming around, and they were really getting into the system. I know that Ball returns this year for Wisconsin. I know they got the quarterback transfer up there as well. You bring in a different quarterback that's not Wilson. I just see it as being too big of an adjustment, too big of a hurdle to try to go ahead and get around and get over. I think also, you know, you lose a couple offensive linemen to the draft. I know they still have got some studs along the offensive line. But still, I think offensively, Wisconsin's going to be a little bit of a mystery, except that the fact they're going to want to go ahead and run the football at you. I think Michigan is just going to have too many dangerous weapons on that side. It starts with Robinson.
Brian Munson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm concerned about Nebraska's defense. I mean, if there's a concern, I think that's on that side of the ball. Talk about the kids that have been in the last couple of recruiting classes, or maybe even a JUCO, and we've talked with a variety of our analysts and you before about who might come off the radar or who's going to be that new name that could make an immediate impact. Who's on the radar for you?
Well, I think you have to start looking at each level, guys. I mean, I think that you, at linebacker, there's two guys that really pop out to me. I think you got David Santos, who was going to be a redshirt freshman that was in last year's class, or 2 years ago, excuse me. I like him at either the Will spot or the Buck linebacker spot. I think he can do either or. I think eventually he's a guy that could fill in even at Mike, but you know you got Will Compton there this year. And then I think you start talking about Zaire Anderson. Zaire Anderson, you know, you bring a JUCO in at that level, I think you have to find a place for him to play immediately. I think he's a guy that fits in either at the Will. I think he's more of a Buck. So go ahead and put him in there to compete with Fisher. You know, and Fisher's been, you know, to say it lightly, inconsistent since the leg injury, you know, with the broken leg. So I think they're still looking for somebody back there to back him up a little bit. You know, moving back to the secondary a little bit, the two guys I'm so excited to see this year, Muhammad Cisse, the junior college transfer from Arizona. I like him because he's got Division I experience. He plays at such a high level. He's got amazing size for a corner and great speed. But I think Nebraska fans should also be looking forward to seeing and finally seeing Charles Jackson. You know, the recruit from 2 years ago that finally got academically qualified to get to Lincoln. And, I mean, at least those guys have shown enough for the Nebraska coaches to go ahead and move Braylon Hurd back from defense back to offense. So, I mean, it says a lot about what those two guys could bring at the cornerback position. I think, actually, I've got an article coming out tomorrow where I said, I wouldn't be surprised if those are your two starting cornerbacks by the time conference play comes around.
Let's talk about a couple of notes that happened here in the last week. Linebacker signee Thomas Brown eligible. Fill us in on that.
You know, Thomas Brown to me is kind of like a poor man's Eric Martin. You know, and the problem with Eric Martin is you don't know really where he fits. Eric Martin, to me, is a little bit more athletic, but he's a little bit smaller than Thomas Brown. I'm not sure if Thomas Brown has the athleticism that Nebraska's really looking for as like a true 4-3 linebacker. I think he could be a 3-4 walk-up, but I think also he could make that shift like what Eric Martin has been forced to do by moving up to defensive end. And if that's the case, I think you're looking at a little bit of a project, but the project there has a lot of upside. I mean, he's going to be a little bit more athletic than the standard defensive end just because he's played the linebacker position, but he's a real raw talent. I think he's going to have a hard time, you know, trying to find a way to get into a position and really stay there. I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to move from position to position for a little while.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Brian, interesting move that Christian LaCourture is going to come up and play at Lincoln Southwest. It sounds like things were in place. His family was going to move up. It looks like he was going to graduate in December anyway, right? Talk about this move and what the pluses and minuses are for him.
It's a very interesting move. It totally struck me off guard. Now, this is a kid right here that's an absolute character. He's so fired up about being a Nebraska Cornhusker. It's almost to where he's just looking past his senior year, and he has so much to look forward to about this season. So when you got to the specifics of the situation, mom's an Army reservist, took a job transfer to Omaha, you know, basically looking toward, you know, son going up there, going to school, very, very tight family. But then there's the younger sister to go ahead and consider, and she was going to move up with mom when she took the job in Omaha, and they bought a house in Lincoln, which was convenient for Christian, of course, to go ahead and be there in Lincoln and be there for all the games and stuff like that. It's a move for him, I think, that personally it's going to be better, because I think down the stretch, you know, looking at the last part of the season, you know, he's looking towards going to Lincoln, not just for school, but looking for the family. And you got some pretty difficult times during the season. You got, you know, you got Thanksgiving. You're looking at the holiday time through the December period. I don't think it's the same level. I think Southwest is a top high school in Nebraska, no question. When you start talking about comparing Class A football in Nebraska to 5A football in Texas, there's really not a lot to compare. LaCouture is a top 20 player in the state of Texas. You start talking about Josh Banderas being as good a linebacker recruit as I've seen come out of Nebraska in a while, and you take LaCouture now, you put him into the picture of being, he jumps right to the top of being the top player in the state. That's how far ahead he is of everybody else. I mean, this is a very talented individual who's going to dominate the Class A level in Nebraska, just like he would have dominated the Class 5A level down in Texas.
Brian Munson with us here. We've had a decommit, basically, since Nebraska's had a commit. Is that what you expected?
It was. You know, Dixon, to me, was kind of the odd guy on the list. I mean, all the other players that are on the commitment list right now are very, very tight-knit. You've got all those guys that came in for Big Red Weekend. We talked about Christian, talked about Josh. You got Greg Hart, Courtney Love, Samuelson. So all these guys came in for Big Red Weekend to help out with the effort to try to get more players in. And Travell Dixon has been the guy that, number one, couldn't make it, has never visited Nebraska, you know, above that. And also the coaching contact that was there between Nebraska and him was Coach Raymond. Coach Raymond takes off, goes to LSU. And then the head coach at Travell Dixon's high school takes a different job and goes elsewhere anyway.
Mm.
It seemed like in the cards where it wasn't really going to surprise you if this guy didn't end up as part of the class. But, I mean, for it to actually fall when it did, it was just kind of like one of those things, well, at least Nebraska knows at this point that if they need to get another safety, you know, because they've already got Nathan Gary in there, you know, do they need to, and McWilson, you have to turn back around right now and go find that third guy, or was that more or less, hey, look, great timing for that, now we can turn our attention and go find another JUCO guy on the defensive line, or potentially line that up for maybe even another quarterback in the class.
Last minute here with Brian Munson, just a couple of questions left. All the blogs, all the websites that follow recruiting, including yours, seem to have more on there about when a kid just gets offered anymore and who's visiting and who's interested. Give me one or two names right now that you are following, because there's so many of them out there. Who's close, or is there somebody that maybe is a big stud that all of a sudden is interested in Big Red?
You know, I think that Zach Cannon is still a name that we were hoping to find out today which way he was going to go, but it sounds like he is going to postpone his decision. He had gotten down to Nebraska and Arkansas, took a late visit to Missouri, and now it sounds like he's too confused to make a decision, which I think is good news for Nebraska fans. If you had to go ahead and ask me last week or even the week before, I would have told you I thought the kid was going to Arkansas, which was so baffling considering how many times he had been up to Lincoln, considering the connections he's got up there to Michael Rose. I just found that so strange that he was just looking for – it seemed like he was looking for reasons to not join Nebraska's class. So now that he's postponed it, it tells me at least that Nebraska's still got a fighting chance in the deal. I don't know what it means about Missouri or the fact maybe the potential he's rethinking Arkansas being his favorite. But I think Nebraska's got a chance there. And with Sean Harlow coming off the board, who visited the prior week, committing to Washington earlier this week, I think that that's a big thing for Nebraska because I really struggle looking at the offensive linemen that they have out there to find another three guys that really have Nebraska listed as their leader. I think Nebraska's got to find a way to get back in with Hannon and quick.
What'd you think of the alternative uniforms for the Wisconsin game?
Too much red. I can't believe I'm saying that about a Nebraska uniform, but the red shirt and the red jersey, and I think the fact that the black just drowns it out up front as opposed to the white number, it just isn't enough trim in there of white. I would have rather just seen him go to an all-black jersey with some white numbers like they typically have got, do a little red trim, flip up the helmet a little bit, do the black. I would have preferred a black matted finish as opposed to glossy, and then maybe some black stripes down the pants. But I'm be interested to see it because I think it's going to be a little bit of a shock, but I wasn't ultimately a fan when I saw him initially.
Damn, I'm going to have to go to you for my fashion advice, Bri.
That's right. I'm going to pick up a second career as an interior decorator, too.
Here's what I tell everybody. Everybody will love them if they beat Wisconsin, so I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. Hey, Brian, we'll let you get back to the work and always appreciate it. Can't wait. Husker season is here.
That's right. Have a great weekend.
Hey, take care. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, Scout.com. Check him out online. All the work. Be a friend on Facebook and Twitter with Brian Munson. That's our TNL Husker Recruiting Report brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, providing a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. You can go to TLIRR.com or visit your nearest TNL dealer. We go to the Big Ten Network. Tom Dienhart, right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Today's interest rates are the lowest that we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.5%. APR 3.81%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. Here are some of the reasons why. We close many of our loans in 30 days or less, and we provide you with industry-leading online apps designed to guide you through the loan process with speed and ease. Again, today's amazingly low rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.5%, APR 3.81%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com. And find out for yourself why we're engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 99. South winds will stay gusting around 10 to 15 at times. Tonight, a chance for storm activity moves in with a low in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 84.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, along with our producer-engineer Jeff Babel on this Friday show, getting you ready for the weekend. Huskers begin practice on Saturday. All the teams kind of getting going. Monte Ball will not be ready for Wisconsin when they begin practice on Monday. We'll be talking with Tom Dienhart here in just a moment, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, about those stories and a whole lot more. What's up with all the legal issues so far in Nebraska? I mean, you got Denner who's going to have to come back, but so many kids right now seem to have some legal issues going on, and that pops up all the time, but some big names affecting some of the top teams in the league. All of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show taken care of by our friends at BK. Burger King, two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. On a warm day like this, stop in and try one of their real fruit smoothies. It's sure to please at BK. Senior writer for the Big Ten Network, back from Big Ten Media Days, Tom Dienhart joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tom, good morning, and thanks for the time. How are we doing?
Doing good. I'm just glad we're about ready to get back on the field. You know, you talked about some of the off-field stuff. It seems like it's been a constant drumbeat of unpleasant stories. So, again, just getting back to football in a lot of respects will be kind of a relief.
Give me your one impression coming out of Chicago last week. No matter what it is, what was the one thing that stuck in your mind when you went home?
Well, you know, the Penn State stuff obviously dominated. You know, initially there were reports the players weren't going to show up for Penn State. Lo and behold, they did end up sending three players, and they obviously wore their emotions on their sleeves and were very vocal in how they felt about the university moving forward, trying to be as positive as they can and supportive as they can. You know what? And, you know, coming in, we would have all thought before all this Penn State saga unfolded, the Urban Meyer arrival in Columbus, Ohio, would have been the headline going into media days this year. But again, that was even overshadowed. But again, let's not underscore or forget Meyer's presence now at Ohio State. Unfortunately, like Penn State, as your listeners know, they're ineligible for the Big Ten title this year or a bowl. But he can begin laying that foundation for what looks like a looming juggernaut. And you know what? When it's all said and done, I wouldn't be shocked if even this year, when we get to December, maybe Ohio State could have the best record in the conference.
Well, that answers my next question, because there's been a lot of speculation about how good Ohio State can be. What's the talent like this year? People just seem to forget, okay, they're on probation, they must not be any good.
Yeah, no, 1-85, they may be the most talented. That's not a big revelation. But again, defensively, without a doubt, I think they have few peers. If there is a peer, it's probably Michigan State on the defensive side of the ball. The question for Ohio State's going to come on the offensive side of the ball. There are questions there, and that's really going to determine if this team can indeed have the best record in the conference. A new spread scheme. Urban Meyer loves Braxton Miller, the quarterback. He sort of had a baptism by fire last year, had some goods, bads. But again, he's back more season. But you know what? The offensive line's being retooled. That's concern number one. Concern number two, top running back Jordan Hall is out for at least the first two games with a foot injury. Concern number three is the wide receiving core. They're still looking for proven playmakers on the perimeter of that offense. So there's talent there. It's unproven talent on the offensive side. If, again, they can answer those questions to a pretty strong degree, I think, again, they have a chance to have an outstanding 2012. Of course, you have to stay motivated, too, knowing they can't win anything. But, again, I think they could have a big chip on their shoulder, and that could really serve as a fuel throughout the season.
Tom Dienhart with us from the Big Ten Network, senior writer. The coaches poll came out yesterday. I was under the impression most people believe Wisconsin was the best team in the conference and thus would be ranked the highest. Michigan is, and in the grand scheme of things, obviously it don't mean a lot. People say, hey, only four teams are ranked when five SEC teams are in the top 10. Big Ten's got four in the top 16. Ohio State would have been ranked, I'm sure, had they not been on probation. Did any of that surprise you?
I think still Michigan being the highest-ranked Big Ten team, honestly. I mean, I like Michigan, especially on offense. But, again, I guess the defense still leaves me a little concerned. Up front, you know, just one starter's back. And that's a tough place to have questions at on that defensive line. And remember, too, their best running back, Fitzgerald Toussaint, is still suspended after his DUI arrest. When's he going to come back? I mean, Brady Hoke was non-committal up in Chicago on that subject. But, again, they got Denard Robinson, a lot of offensive talent back. But, again, the questions I mentioned on defense, and look at the schedule, too. That's the toughest schedule in the Big Ten, with Alabama, of course, Air Force, Notre Dame, then the conference schedule.
to me, I really like Michigan State. I know you said you like Wisconsin. I guess I think Michigan State's the best team in the Big Ten. Talked about their defense a little bit earlier. Look at their offensive line, too. I think I may be one of one or two best in the conference. Good running back in Le'Veon Bell. So, again, they're going to be able to play great defense, number one, have a strong offensive line, which is going to augment and propel a strong running game led by Le'Veon Bell. And that's going to, I think, soften the blow of breaking in a new quarterback in Andrew Maxwell.
Tom, tell me a little bit. I want to go back to Fitz Toussaint. My gut feeling is these things seem to find a way to work out in a month's time and that he'll be in the starting lineup against Alabama. That's just a gut feeling, you know, because that's the way it seemed things play out. They lose defensive end Frank Clark for the off-field incidents as well. But if Fitz Toussaint can't go, what's the running game look like?
Yeah, you know, they got decent depth. Thomas Rawls is a bigger, more physical back. You know, Justice Hayes is a young guy, sort of a speedster. And then they have a senior in Vincent Smith, sort of a diminutive back who's more of a third down running back. So, again, they've got options. They're not going to be, out of luck without Toussaint. But, again, none of these guys are Toussaint. Just know that for sure. And you're going against Alabama. And this is obviously a defending national champion who arguably has one of the best defenses in America every year. And, boy, that Michigan offense becomes a lot easier to defend if you're Alabama without Fitzgerald Toussaint in the backfield. So I think you're probably right in your gut. I got a feeling Fitzgerald's probably going to be on the field in Arlington, Texas on September 1st. Because, like I said, if he's not, Michigan's odds become a heck of a lot longer than they already are in that ballgame.
Senior writer of the Big Ten Network, Tom Dienhart, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It had happened yesterday like I figured it would. It was just too strange to believe that five guys at 2:15 in the morning started to beat the crap out of Monte Ball, and he's trying to defend himself, and it's just the world that we live in that everybody thinks something else is going on behind the scenes. What are you hearing?
Well, yeah, I mean, just a totally unprovoked ambush. I mean, and it seems kind of dubious, and we're seeing more details revealed here. You know, we'll see where it all ends from a legal standpoint, if there are any arrests made. I guess just keeping the focus on Wisconsin at this point, I talked about the depth of running back for Michigan. Should Monte Ball be out for an extended stretch? You know, don't wait too much for Wisconsin. You know, James White is a heck of an alternative. Could be a starter for most teams in the Big Ten. Go back to 2010 when he was a freshman and ran for over 1,000 yards. And he's not quite as big or physical between the tackles as Ball, but he is much more of a speed threat and a home run hitter. So, again, that offense shouldn't miss a beat without Ball. They could probably get through the non-conference schedule, which isn't that tough without Ball, get him healed up and ready to go for that conference run. And if you can believe this, they're going for their third Rose Bowl trip in a row, and that has not been done in the Big Ten since Michigan did it from 76, 77, 78. So there's a little bit of history that Wisconsin's chasing there, too.
Incredible, and I know that is the focus of this football team after talking with Coach Bielema last week. Before we get into the Nebraska questions, because we want to get two or three of those in, which one of the non-powers in your eye? I want to root for Northwestern, but it just doesn't look like they've got enough coming back. Who of these have-beens or has-beens, however you want to phrase that, has the best chance to make a move this year?
You know, well, keep an eye. You know, I'm like you with Northwestern, but again, the defense and playing the Legends sort of gives me pause to get too excited about the Wildcats. Look over in the leaders division of Purdue and Illinois. I think reasons why to be optimistic are, number one, it's a watered-down division with the two of the best teams ineligible for the division title. But on their rosters are good defenses, solid defenses. Purdue could have one of the better lines in the Big Ten, and Illinois's got a lot coming back on that side of the ball as well. Whether or not Illinois or Purdue can really truly be a dark horse is going to come down to offense. Of course, Illinois's got the new coach and Tim Beckman, new spread scheme. Is Nathan Shielhouse the good right quarterback for it? Do they have another receiver with A.J. Jenkins gone? Who's going to run the ball in Purdue, you know? You heard the ads. If you got two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. Purdue's got three quarterbacks. So what does that mean? Is that going to be a divisive force on that offense to keep it from really gelling? So, again, Illinois-Purdue, keep around those teams because of their defense. And if they get any semblance of a decent offense, it could maybe be –
a little bit of a dark horse in 2012.
Well, Tom, let's get to the Nebraska questions. As we told the listeners yesterday and today, you've put out on the website 10 reasons to be excited in 2012. Everybody asks what our record's going to be, how are we going to be. I'm saying, you know, I have faith in Taylor Martinez, third-year quarterback, and if he's not, trouble. Rex Burkhead has to be healthy, has to be there. A little concerned with some of the defense. I find it interesting that at number three, you put deep receiving core, where Nebraska had a lot of trouble last year, but that does include some really stud tight ends. Tell me what you see out of that.
Yeah, the tight end duel, the senior tight end duel of Kyler Reed and Ben Cotton, and, you know, what, you had two freshman wideouts. Kenny Bell led the team last year, the freshman, and Jamal Turner as well. You know, Brandon Kinney's the only real significant loss there. I'm not saying this is Jerry Rice John Taylor, but again, it's a receiving core. Last year was littered with questions, and youth now, at least have experience, there's some depth and a lot of potential there when you factor in the tight ends as well. So again, you hit on all the high points there with Burkhead, Martinez. The line's going to be better too. They just got to get, you know, center sorted out, and they got a lot of tackles to choose from. They got options. That line's going to be better as well. So really, it's the defense. To me, that's probably the biggest key for Nebraska. It hasn't been a standout unit in recent years. John Papuchis just gets promoted. I love the hire of the Iowa defensive line coach.
Kaczynski.
But again, yeah, and who's going to be the stars of that defense? Stafford, that safety. I mean, they need more big plays, they need more sacks, more tackles for loss. And right now, there's no real stars that seem apparent. They could emerge, but again, defensive playmaking ability is really going to be what determines how good Nebraska is, I think, in 2012.
Great teams have stability. As you mentioned, Papuchis comes in first-year defensive coordinator, just the second year for Tim Beck, and it's not like this staff's been together for 12 years like they've been on staff. Your thoughts as they continue to, I guess, mature and grow in their new roles?
Yeah, it's a young staff. It's kind of a strange staff, a real interesting blend of youth and I guess, inexperience. You talked about Papuchis, first year running the defense, Tim Beck in his second on offense. He brought in Terry Joseph from Tennessee to run the secondary, another good hire. It's a unique staff. And you got to like some of the energy that the youthfulness of that staff brings to the field. Personnel's continued to get better, I think, as Bo's tenure has marched on. I think last year, defense may not have been quite as big or physical enough to deal with some of the Big Ten offenses. We're in the Big 12, as all your listeners know, they're a little bit more of a pass-oriented league, a lot more spread offense. You had to have more athletes playing in space on defense, and that's not necessarily the case in the Big Ten. So it was a learning process, too, to adjust to the Big Ten offenses. You got to factor all those things together, and you got to think the defense is going to make some strides this year.
Finally, Tom, because everybody likes predictions, I think by our conversation, you like Michigan State and Wisconsin in the championship game, although Ohio State could still win the division, and correct me if I'm wrong, and where do you see the Huskers landing?
Yeah, exactly. I like a rematch of last year's inaugural Big Ten championship game. Wisconsin, Michigan State, I wouldn't be shocked if Michigan State gets revenge this year. Gets to the Rose Bowl for the first time since the 1987 season. You know, it's hard for me to pick Nebraska any higher than third, really, in the Legends at this point. If the defense is better than I think, then who knows? Maybe they could be a real dark horse in that division. Martinez lights it up, too, as a passer. So, again, Nebraska probably looks like at least an 8-win team, maybe a 4-win team. The non-conference schedule isn't that crazy, aside from that trip to UCLA. The other three home games are very winnable. So, again, but that conference schedule for the Huskers for the second year in a row, they've got the three big boys as far as cross-divisional games go. Penn State's still going to be kind of tough this year. And, of course, you've got Wisconsin, Ohio State as well you got to deal with. And then you got all those Legends division teams. So questions on Nebraska's defense and that schedule make it a lot harder for the Huskers, I think.
Yeah, Nebraska's still playing that welcome to the Big Ten schedule.
Yeah.
So. Hey, Tom, thanks for the extended chat here today on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's always a pleasure, and keep up the great work. We're glad that football season on the field is officially here.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Tom Dienhart with us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Senior writer for the Big Ten Network. You can follow him online and, of course, on the Big Ten Network here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We're rolling right along. If you're out and about, maybe you're sending your kid off to college and they need a vehicle, whether it's new or pre-owned, you can browse the stock for great deals on used cars, trucks, and SUVs. The convenient used automobile dealerships are stocked with high-quality used vehicles at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And the kids love to be on the computer anyway. Get them on thinkmidway.com. Let them look at every vehicle on the lot. And then you've got, well, three or six, depending on your child or your young man or woman's thoughts. And then that way, when you get to the lot, you know what you're looking at. And they'll take care of you as well. They can get in and out in less than 30 minutes with the Mopar Express Lane and GM Quick Lube. No appointment necessary. The 30-minute oil change for less than $30. It's always the better way. It's hassle-free at Midway. And thinkmidway.com. The Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. John Urschel, offensive guard, Penn State, when we come back.
Hi, Tom Bodette, restoring some sanity to this election season by starting my own super PAC. Gonna call it Six Pack. But instead of collecting huge checks from anonymous donors to make annoying TV ads that scare the pants off you, we're gonna collect the lowest price of any national chain. And in exchange, rather than political influence or being appointed ambassador to Fiji, you get a clean, comfortable room with a TV you can turn off. I'm Tom Bodette, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Think you've tried everything for your allergies? Well, Allegra works like nothing else. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy, starts working in just an hour, keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It's effective even at 8 times high pollen levels. So remember, you can have it all with Allegra. It applies to first dose only among OTC-branded antihistamines and controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Doug and Daddy, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Former Husker Monty Kratzenstein will be among our, well, he'll be our co-host coming up on Monday's program. So we'll be hearing from him. Also, we're going to hear our conversation with Wisconsin football coach Brett Bielema on Monday's show. So Monty Kratzenstein, my co-host, Brett Bielema, Wisconsin head football coach on Monday's show, and a recap of everything that's going on. Yesterday's Doug and Daddy poll question: do you take the over or the under on the Green Bay Packers winning 12 games this season? 56% said under, which I did, which is weird. 44% said over. Today, oh, you knew it was going to be Huskers. In your opinion, how are the Huskers rated in the preseason coaches poll? Number 16, are they too high, are they too low, or are they just right? Too high, too low, or just right? You can go to ESPNSuperstation.com and vote. What do you think, Jeff? Too high, too low? Just right.
Honestly, I think just a little too high.
I see, again, right now, I got no problem with it. Right now, it's considering they were 24th last year and the questions I have, but if I think they're a 10-2 football team at the end of the year, I think they'll be ranked higher than 16th. But because I think they're going to be a top 10 team before they're going to go 4-0, then they're going to play Wisconsin, and they're going to be right around 10th in the country.
That's exactly what I said yesterday to a bunch of my friends. I said, you know, we'll start 4-0, you know, a bunch of these teams that have, like, the Michigan game, if they lose week one, you know, we'll jump them by the Wisconsin game, we'll be a top 10 team, and the preseason rankings won't really matter all that much at all.
So whether Nebraska is ranked 12th or 16th or 18th, I really don't think it makes any matter. So right now, I'm going to say just right. Your vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. We were talking about the Olympics earlier. The Dent Popper inbox, Tony says, is Java competing in the trampoline? No, he's not. Although the American this morning, I've watched this trampoline before in the Olympics. There's actually guys that missed the trampoline today. I not fall off the side, but went width-wise, they went on the end and landed on the cushy platforms that they have there for them. I didn't even know that that was possible in the Olympics, but that's exactly what happened, folks. John Urschel is our Big Ten pickup for today. He is the offensive guard from Penn State. And our Big Ten reports are brought to you in part by Complete Nutrition and Bruce Furniture. More Big Ten football coverage here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda along with Mike Will, and a chance to talk Penn State football. Again, we've been talking about that as we previewed them with 12 teams in 12 days earlier this month. And John Urschel joins us, starting guard, going to be a junior for this football team out of Williamsville, New York. And John, thanks so much for the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get it out of the way. How many football questions are you actually getting asked here at Media Days?
Very few, but I welcome them.
Yeah, we want to talk football. We again, want to say, hey, We love Penn State, and that was quite the scene. Nebraska just happened to be the team when it all came down. Can you take us from a Penn State perspective, the prayer, the walkthrough, that day, that game? Doesn't even have to be the week, but, I mean, when Nebraska came in and maybe even a special bond that may have been put forth by all those student-athletes.
Well, I believe it was a special game, and it was shown by the prayer at the beginning. You don't see that very often.
No.
And I think it was a great football game between two great football programs. And just getting a chance to pray with the Nebraska guys, even talk to them after, they seem like a great group of guys, great football players, and that they have a really good program going at Nebraska.
What has this last week been like for you guys as a team?
Well, you know, it's been a little tough, but if anything, it's just brought us together and brought us closer as a family. As you know, we released a statement talking about how strong we are as a core and that the core of our football team is staying together this fall.
You have to be mature to be a pretty darn good football player, and you're mature in the classroom as well, but I'm guessing not everybody can be as mature as you are. How are you taking the younger gentlemen on the team? I mean, you got 18-year-old kids in there. We still refer to them as kids. How are you getting some of the new freshmen or the redshirt guys through some of these things like that, answering questions?
Well, you just try to show them by example and set a good precedent for them. And I believe that our upperclassmen have done a tremendous job with that. Our seniors and juniors have handled these things extremely well. And it just shows the freshmen and the sophomores how to conduct themselves.
That was Joe Paterno as a coach. Now let's get into football. I mean, we saw him here last year being as popular as ever. And what was it like going to Penn State with all that tradition and getting a chance to be coached by a true legend?
Well, you know, it was an honor to be coached by such a great football coach as, you know, Joe obviously is. It was an honor.
Let's talk a little bit about the football team this year then. Once you get on the field here, once you get to go to practice here, what are you looking forward to? What kind of football team do you think Penn State's going to have, especially on the offensive side of the football?
You know, I think we're going to have a very good football team, a tough but smart team. And, you know, I'm excited to just, you know, put my helmet back on, put some pads on, start hitting again.
So, I was going to say, are you just anxious to get back and put all this stuff aside, put it under the carpet or whatever, and just get back out and just play football again?
Yeah, I'm extremely excited just to put this chapter away and just get back to playing football. Because, I mean, in the end, that's what we're here for. It's what we love.
John Urschel is joining us here, offensive guard for Penn State. We looked at the schedule here middle of the summer, and we said, you know what, Penn State, they've got some name programs on there. Of course, our former coach Frank Solich in Ohio get the opportunity to play you in week one. You go to a Virginia team that was much improved last year. Then when you start the conference, it's Illinois, Northwestern, Iowa. If the football team can play football, I said on the show, 8-0 is not beyond your expectations. And I know it's one game at a time, but how good do you think this football team can be this year?
I think that we have the potential to be a great football program. And honestly, going into every season, you always have to believe that you can run the table. But going into this season in particular, I feel especially strongly that we have a great core of football players. We have some really good guys who are going to contribute greatly to our program. I think we have an opportunity to get a lot of wins this fall.
You got a lot of new guys. I mean, returning starters, as we look here in front of us, it's 5 on offense, it's 4 on defense. Who's a new guy or two that could really emerge that you've seen in spring ball or summer workouts that you think is going to make a big step forward for Penn State that we're going to know about by the time we play you guys, Nebraska, Penn State, at the end of the year?
Well, you know, I think by the time all this is said and done, you'll really get to know the guy playing behind Devin Still. We've got a good defensive tackle in Daquan Jones.
Okay.
And there's a great tradition of defensive tackles here. When I got here, Jared Odrick was playing here. Devin Still was a backup behind him. I think Daquan Jones is going to have a great career and is going to follow the way of both Jared and Devin.
How about Mr. Mowdy? Mike, we got a chance to talk to a couple of the great linebackers, and there's linebacker you, obviously. What about that linebacking core again this year? It looks like studs again.
Oh, that goes without saying. Michael's a tremendous football player. He's one of the most instinctive football players I've ever seen, and he'll be playing alongside Gerald Hodges, who's also just a tremendous athlete. I think we'll have a great core, as always.
Both all Big Ten linebackers coming back. Nobody wants to run the ball against these boys, and they can chase you down if you're a quarterback as well.
Especially with Jordan Hill in the middle. We've got a very strong front seven.
So how enthused are you and looking forward to playing in Lincoln come, what is it? Clear at the November 10th, wow.
Yeah, clear at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've never been to out to Nebraska before. I'm excited to, you know, see the university, check it out a little
bit. You know where Nebraska's at? Come on. Do you?
He's a 4.0.
Yeah. Could you point her out on the map where Nebraska's at?
He's one of those guys. He's an East Coasterner, as we like to refer to him as. What is after college for you? I mean, obviously with that GPA where it's at, what are we heading towards?
Well, honestly, I'm hoping to play football as long as I can. And if the opportunity presents itself, I'd love to play football at the next level. But after that, I'm just grateful that I have a strong degree to fall back on.
How long did you live in Canada?
I was born there, and I spent a great deal of my childhood there. My father still lives there.
Okay.
Wow. Mathematics major. Where's that going to take you if we don't have a...
He's the smartest guy sitting at this table.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I'll tell you that right now. We appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. John Urschel, offensive guard for Penn State, joining us here on ESPN Radio. Have a great season, and I hope it does, actually. You know, we root for Frank Solich, but I'd love to see you guys get off to an 8-0 start and then see what happens after that.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, John. John Urschel, offensive guard, great guy from Penn State. And our Big Ten report brought to you in part by Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, and Complete Nutrition, Grand Island and Kearney. ESPN Television right now talking with one of the friends of the Doug and Daddy Show, Tom Mulhern of Wisconsin State Journal. As we just talked about with Tom Dienhart, some facts, if they are facts, but the Wisconsin State Journal is reporting that there are some facts behind the Monte Ball incident early Wednesday morning. There may have been an earlier event that instigated this, possible a fight or a altercation with football players on campus. This story is just coming down, so keep it here on ESPN for the very latest. Olympics, how about Roger Federer? He beats Juan del Potro. They just played the best of three in the Olympics, but 19-17 in the third set, the longest Olympic tennis match in history. He's probably ready for a sandwich. Let's go to Big Dally's Deli. Two locations in Hastings, 801 West 2nd Street, 610 East South Street, or in Kearney, top of the hill at 3905 North 2nd, home of a bazillion sandwiches. You can get the same sandwich made a bazillion ways as well. Different toppings, different cheeses, different breads. They're all good. Try them today when you're on the go. You're in, you're out. You can like them on Facebook for specials all the time as well. Don't forget, they're there for you at Big Dally's Deli. Soups, salads, fruit cups, chips, cookies, sodas, whatever you want with your combo meal, they can take care of that. Try a different sandwich. You can go there every day if you'd want to at Big Dally's Deli, open 7 days a week, Kearney and Hastings. Folks, I think we have flat out run out of time. I think that's it. Let me see. Anything else that we want to talk about? No. Talked about that. No. Hastings College football team picked third in the preseason GPAC coaches poll, fourth in the media poll. We've heard from the sportscast from Tony Harper, and we'll hear more from him this afternoon. They've got a lot of holes to fill on defense, going to need some help in the special teams. They do have John Dostal and a good offense coming back with their quarterback, a returning quarterback for a while. Northwestern and Morningside. The coaches picked Northwestern. The media picked Morningside, but it was very close either way. And then there's a big drop-off to who follows. Hastings, Dakota Wesleyan, Doan, and Midland look to be battling for third through sixth in the conference, and Hastings will report to practice on the 14th of this month. Big Ten has also announced its volleyball television schedule. Nebraska's first game on TV volleyball-wise will be hosting UCLA August the 25th at 7 o'clock. Also their game at Penn State and hosting Michigan State in September with many, many more to come. Checking the Cox Classic, I want to tell you Riley Reinertsen's on the golf course. He was three back going into the final round of the Junior PGA National in Indiana. We'll pass along his final results later today. Peter Lonnard is 7-under-64, tied for the lead at 12-under with Tag Rittings. Bubba Dickerson and Brad Fritch are at 11-under. One of the co-leaders in Luke Guthrie doesn't tee off until 2:05. Same for Scott Gucheski. He tees off here in about a half an hour. He's at 4-under. John Hurley doesn't tee off until about 2:25 this afternoon. We want to thank all of our guests on the show today. John Urschel, guard from Penn State. Tom Dienhart, senior writer from the Big Ten Network. And Brian Munson of Big Red Report. Wisconsin coach Brett Bielema. And Monty Kratzenstein is my co-host Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.